Ebenezer friends and family. It is so good to be back with you. I know you're looking to my left and you're like, what is that up there? Well, some of you are Transformer fans and you remember the movies. They've got a lot of newer ones, but I went back to the old school. I love this character, Bumblebee. Yeah, Bumblebee, he was a Volkswagen. It was the greatest ever. But what intrigued me most importantly, that when we meet him within the movie, he is this Volkswagen, and then we learn that he's this transformed robot. And so he goes from this this thing that doesn't look so good to this thing of power. That's what we're going to talk about today. And so I want you to stay with us. I want to thank you so much for staying connected to ebcnc.com. All the things that are going on there. Lord has truly blessed us to have many Bible teachings throughout the week, Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Also, I want you to keep us up in prayer as we're in our in-person services, 8:45, 10:45, and we've got our 10 o'clock online. So thank you for all you do. Thank you for your giving. Man, Lord has just done so much for us, for the body of Christ, even in these stressful times. God loves a cheerful giver, and I thank you for keeping that first and foremost within your mind and heart. And giving is not just monetarily giving, but it's also reaching out and blessing others and loving on people and texting them and encouraging. We're going to talk about that gift of exhortation today. And so I want you to just stay focused on the Lord and know that even in this season where so many strange things are happening, God is still faithful. Well, I am ready to get into the word of the Lord, but I want our hearts to be prepared as we think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us. We'll see you soon.
I'm going to the 27th division of Psalms. We're living in some critical times, but I'm not living in fear.
Amen.
I'm just going to use common sense and praise God.
Amen.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Mm-hmm. Whom shall I fear? Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, my foes come upon to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though thou and host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though shall I rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desire of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire his temple. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I came to Jesus as I was. I could not find my way. I found in him a resting place. And now I know I'm safe today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank. You've been so good. You've been so good. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Jesus, you blessed me once, and then you blessed me twice. And when I pause just to think about you, you've been blessing me all the days of my life. That's why I gotta say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Distractions and fears. The enemy does not give up. But I am so glad that we serve a God that is faithful. Don't forget that memory scripture that we've really been getting in our hearts, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is one of your tools that you're going to be using. I know I'm using as I've been in 2022. And I know that our God has been doing so much in all of us. Today's scripture that we want to focus in on is one of my favorites, or at least section of scriptures, Romans 12:2. While you're meditating and just getting focused to receive what God has for us all, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Lord, you are amazing. Now, Lord, as we approach this word, just do it carefully. Lord, I want and need you to reach out through this virtual platform and just touch hearts. And Lord, I thank you that you're still in the saving business, that there's someone that's looking and listening today that doesn't know you. I pray that they be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead. Lord, I thank you that they'll have a realization of Ephesians chapter 2, where it talks about by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you, Lord, and I pray that they receive that gift today. Now, Lord, I welcome your Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are our teacher. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Lord, we just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 12:2, it reads, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, I really want you to get that in your heart, that Romans 12:2 again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to speak from a title today, A Life of Transformation. A Life of Transformation. It is critical in this season and time where we can go from days of 70 degrees to down in the 25s, 40 plus degrees change in weather within a 24-hour period. I'm telling you, I believe God is speaking to us. He is giving us signs in the heavenlies and letting us know that really time is getting short. As I see the enemy step up his attacks and bringing forth so many distractions and fear, we must make sure as saints of God that we are in this transformation process, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. AD 57 is the time frame. We pick up Paul the Apostle as he's being led of the Holy Spirit in writing these scriptures that really challenge at least those that he's talking to at that point, but also throughout the generation still powerfully impacting us to really examine where we are in our lives. As you kind of go through this section of scripture, a little history on it, I've been talking about Israel's future and restoration by God, how God is going to restore them to the body, the totality of the body. As you know, there are many Jews now that still don't believe. Those who do believe, they're called Messianic. So many Jews are still waiting for Christ to come. So this is critical. Even in that day, we know the Pharisees and the Sadducees, their struggle. But I am so glad for Jesus, and I'm so glad that God is using us to get the gospel out wherever we are, whether we're on our jobs, whether we're in the grocery store, whether we're just out walking around. God wants to use us, and we're going to talk about that even more. Let's jump into this section of scripture, Romans 12:1. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Here's our first point. Reasonable service. Yes, reasonable service. This scripture has always impacted me. It was one of the first scriptures, really, that I committed to memory and putting it in my heart, simply because it was just so powerful. When you really take this scripture and apply it to your lives, there has to be a change. This reasonable service is the base foundation of our faith. That's what the Spirit is speaking through Paul the Apostle. C.T. Studd, a British athlete, he made this statement, and it's profound. He said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Amen. He died for us. He went to that cross of Calvary, and therefore he gave his life that we can be transformed. Talking about that life of transformation, let's look closely at that Romans 1. Just a few words I want to pull out. The first one, he says, I beseech you. Beseech means to beg. Paul the Apostle, as he's led of the Holy Spirit, said, I beg you to do this thing. He said in that second part, present your bodies a living sacrifice. God doesn't want a dead sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. It's our lives are to be a sacrifice unto him. And then that base level, that last part of the scripture, which is your reasonable service. This reasonable service can also be translated to spiritual worship. But what God is bringing out, this is the least that you could do. I won't all of you. And so many times in our lives, we have been challenged. We want to give God a part of us, a piece of us. But God says, I won't all of you. Some of us have run through conflicts within our lives, the stresses and fears, because we've been trying to walk that line. Remember in Revelations, it says, I wish you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I'll spew you, or I'll spit you, or I'll vomit you out of my mouth. A very strong language when we think about that. And I want you to look at your life and ask yourself, am I 100% in? Am I seeking the Lord like he would have me? me to seek him? Am I being led of the Holy Spirit? Jesus being our sacrifice really gives us a basis of understanding more of this life of transformation. Galatians 1:3 says it like this: "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age." I want to read that fourth verse, that first part again. "Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age." Are there any amens? Do you sense that there is evil out there? There is evil from the word that's coming, the world that's coming at us. And we must understand God has died for us that we can be delivered from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. When we grasp this, that the whole reason that Christ dies on that cross is to empower us. Yes, through salvation and deliverance, that we can be in this world. We can be walking in this world, but not of this world, not taking on the likeness of the world. I'm going to talk about that in a bit. Galatians 2:20 really gives us our marching orders. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." This is heavy when you begin to think about it, that Paul the Apostle realizes as the Spirit is speaking to him. He says, "I've been crucified with Christ. I've been changed. He paid for our sins. He's delivered us and set free. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives in me. It's Christ that lives in you. It's Christ that's transforming us, enables us to live a life of transformation." Saints, we have to examine ourselves and look at our lives and say, okay, am I getting closer to the Lord? Am I seeking him more? Or have I been pulling away because of the distractions and fears that have been coming towards us all? Look at this, Romans 12:2. He goes on and says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." I want somebody just to type it in the chat section. I know it's a big word, but transform, that's huge. It's huge when we think about it in our lives. "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Here's another point. And we have to live in this way. Christians are changed. Yes, Christians are changed. There has been too much on the media. There's been too much from people who don't believe of the world talking about the saints of God, that we're just like them, that there's really no difference. And so often we can see the same thing as we look at our family and friends and even examining ourselves. Christians are changed. There is a definite change that should be seen within us. There should be a definite change as we are going through our days, that people can notice there is a difference in the way they live. There is a difference in the way they carry themselves. Ed Henson writes this. He says, "We are to resist being poured into the mold of the present thinking, value systems, and conduct of this world." I want to read that again because I want you to process it. "We are to resist being poured into the mold of the present thinking, value systems, and conduct of this world." Now the question is, what is the world teaching us? I want you to think about that. What have you learned from the world? I've talked to so many people, and as children growing up and living in this place that we love so much, the United States of America, but with challenges as media has become prolific, we see that even our children are picking up thought patterns that may be different than what we wanted them. And how much have we picked up things that are contrary to God's word, especially over these generations? It seems like there's so much news and so much knowledge that's coming at us, and having to choose what's truth and what's made up. All of these challenges are here. What is the world teaching us? I want you to know, I don't want you to be naive. Every time that you pick up your phone, the world is trying to teach you something. Every time that you look at your TV, the world is trying to teach you something. When we're on the internet, the world is trying to teach us. Who is the world? The prince of the power out of the air. Yes, he has some authority within this realm, and he's been striving to take down the saints of God and to keep the unbelievers in unbelief, in blindness. But I'm so glad that God is changing us. I'm talking about a life of transformation. Peter, led by the Spirit, he actually grapples with this and gives us an understanding of what we're going through in this life of transformation. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy. Are you with me? Just type holy. Somebody say holy if you're in your living rooms. Holy. You also be holy in all your conduct. Again, holy, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. A life of transformation. I said this on Sunday, last Sunday, that holiness is not a Pentecostal thing. Holiness is a Bible thing. It's a scriptural thing. It's a godly thing. Look at that 14th verse again. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust that is in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy. I want you to get that. You also be holy in all of your conduct, of life of transformation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. You hear all those holiness, that whole process of holiness should be within our lives, a life of transformation. Romans 12:2 gives us the specific things. How do we get to this point? How do we get to this life of holiness? Notice that part that we've been talking about. It says, but be transformed. Yes, but be transformed. In the Greek, this is metamorpho or metamorphosis by the mind or the renewing of your mind. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to guard what's coming into our mind. How often have we just allowed anything to come in our mind? Any music to come into our ears? Anything to come into our eye gaze? We've got to guard that, because if we are not careful, there will be a subtle change that'll come in, and you'll find yourself drawing away from the Lord rather than drawing to him. I'm talking about a life of transformation. The devil is clearly fighting against us with everything that he can throw at us. Any amens out there? I'm telling you, every day that we get up, the enemy is after us. And even sometimes when we go to sleep in our dreams, the enemy is after us. 1 John 3:8 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for our teacher, our guide. Thank God for King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he died and was resurrected to destroy the works of the enemy. But how often are we allowing sin to encompass our lives? We must live a life of transformation. Oh, that we fight to be changed for the Lord. W. McDonald writes this. Listen to this. The world has its own politics. Art, music, religion, amusement, thought patterns, and lifestyles, and it seeks to get everyone to conform to its culture and customs. It hates nonconformists like Christ and his followers. Yes, that is a challenge. Please, everything that we're going through so often in this life is worldly thought patterns trying to mesh us into this system. But saints of God, that's why the word of God is so important, that we have to hide it in our heart and to know, as the Holy Spirit lives within us, there's a change that's taking place on the deep on the inside of us. I'm talking about a life of transformation. God wants us to really be more like him, that his light can show more through us in a profound way, that souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of him, and that we can know that we're really seeking the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. I'm talking about a life of transformation. Look at Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Here's another point. Sober thinking. Yes, sober thinking. Now, many of us have had interaction with people that have been inebriated, those who have been drunk. I've had some family members that have been like that. And when people get inebriated, get drunk, they tend to do crazy things. They tend to, that filter comes off and they just kind of do what they want to do. Some become violent. Others just say things that they shouldn't say. We understand that is under that push of alcohol. But notice the scripture makes a correlation that we should have sober thinking. We should be able to process as we're living in this life. And my concern is that so many have become drunk off of this world. Yes, so many have become inebriated with the things, the lust of the world, the things that the devil has to offer. We're caught up in all of this mishmash of stuff that's hitting us from the left and the right. Notice Romans 12:3 again, that midpoint. It says not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Could we be walking in pride, thinking that we are more than we really are? I'm telling you, if it had not been for God on our side, there ought to be some shouts of praise. If it had not been for God moving in our lives, we all deserve death. We all deserve hell. But thank God for Jesus. Some of you need to shout out Jesus. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that washes us white as snow. I'm talking about a life of transformation. Galatians 6:3 really brings it to the point that we can think in a way of humility. It says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Galatians 6:4, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Yes, we need to examine ourselves and realize we need more of the Holy Spirit. We need more of God on the inside of us, for we have all fallen short of the kingdom of heaven. Notice that mid part, that last part of Romans 12:3, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. A life of transformation. I love this part because it's saying as we go to God, he has all the faith, but he's dealt with us a measure of faith. As we're in this life of transformation, God is actually increasing our faith to be more like him and actually to produce the works that he would have produced in our lives. Yeah, it's like a measuring cup, and we've got the cup and God is pouring it in as we're seeking him. As we're seeking this life of transformation, he's giving us or allowing us to be changed to his likeness. The fact that God even cares about us is amazing. There ought to be some shouts there. There's some of you, you have not forgot what God has delivered you from. You have not forgot the stuff that you were caught up in. You have not forgot the terrible mistakes that you have made in your life. But aren't you glad that God still loves us? The psalmist, he shouts this out in Psalms 8:3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you are dame, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? I'm talking about a life of transformation. I believe some of you just need to take some time to give a shout of praise right now, maybe run around the room. When you think about that God cares for us, he loves us, and he desires us to be more like him. He is a good father. A life of transformation. Look at Romans 12:4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Here's another point. We are all connected. Yes, we are all connected. Now, this is important, and we need to digest this as we process this within our mind. All of us are connected. If you are a saint, if you are a Christian, if you've been saved, we're connected. Even though COVID-19 has tried to divide us, and all of these things that we're going through has tried to divide us, the enemy has tried to divide us, we're still connected. Whatever you're going through, it affects me, and whatever I'm going through, it affects you. But when the body of Christ gets on one accord, when the body begins to flow with one another, just as our bodies, man, when we're healthy and there's no pains, no issues, man, we can accomplish a lot. But when one part of our body begins to hurt, maybe our back begins to hurt, or our knee begins to hurt, or our hip begins to hurt, it actually affects the entire entire body trying to work through that. And it's so important for the body of Christ, especially in this season, as I see it getting closer and closer to Christ's return, that we can step up and be what God would have us to be, a life of transformation. 1 Corinthians 12:12 talks about this body being connected. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Yes, we are connected, and God has made it an intricate system that as your gift comes forth and my gift comes forth, we begin to produce what he has for us, his desire for us. Let me talk about these gifts. Let me sum this up in Romans 12:6. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, this prophecy is utterance, divine utterance of God. People have actually spoken to my life, and you know, when they spoke and they gave me a word, and I knew that was from the Lord, and I actually have written those words down and take them to my prayer closet. That was a prophecy. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry. This ministry, broken down in the Greek, it means deaconing. It's the same thing as being a servant, really serving under God's inspiration. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, this is someone that has the ability to break down God's word and give it to us in a mental way, to infect our mind that we can understand. It says in teaching, verse 8, he who exhorts in exhortation. This is a person that doesn't necessarily speak to the mind, but more to the emotional state, encouraging you to go on in the faith and not to give up. He who gives with liberality. You know, God has a gift of giving. Yes, there's some people that God has just enabled them to have a free-flowing spirit. All of us should be givers, but there's some that God has just overwhelmingly given them so much to bless others that are around with liberality. He who leads with diligence. God has put forth people that will be leaders in the body, and they do that with diligence because God has given them that gift. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Yes, we all should show mercy, but all of us know there have been sometimes that we've done some things and it hadn't been much mercy, we just did them. But there's some people that have a heart that has this mercy, and they always want to bless people, and they can do it with cheerfulness. The point that I bring out of all of this, walk in your gift. Yes, yes, you walk in your gift. I need to walk in my gift. If you are a saint of God, we must walk in our gift. All of us have a gift from the Lord. Now, as I look at this scripture, notice Romans 12:6 again, having then gifts differing according to the grace. Somebody say grace. Grace that is given to us, let us use them. God's grace doesn't just cover us from sin, but it empowers us to walk in holiness and the gifts that he's given us. Yes, yes, that's what grace is. Grace is powerful. It brings forth transformation in our lives. Not that we deserve it, but again, by God's grace and his mercy. Think about on our jobs, we have been trained. Many of you have degrees or post degrees, and some of you have gone up the inspiration ladder that's within your job. But when we compare to our inspiration when it comes to the Lord, how many of us are matriculating? How many of us are growing and connecting with the body? Some of you are blessed with so many talents and skills, and you're using it for the world. And thank God for the ability to get paychecks and to pay our bills. But how is that connecting with the body of Christ? Please understand your gift should be always lifted up to glorify God, that as we live this life of transformation, God has left us here to use the gifts that he's given to men. We're commanded to really embrace this whole fact, this calling that God has put upon on our lives. Matthew 28:19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Ask yourself, how am I connecting to this great commission? 28:20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I'm talking about a life of transformation. But saints, the only way that we can embrace this is really to understand the gospel. We talked about it on last Sunday, that Jesus Christ, he walked among men, healing the sick and raising the dead, but he didn't stop there. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, crying out for us and said, Father, not our will, not my will, but let thy will be done. And he does that all for us. I'm so glad that he goes down the Via Dolorosa. He takes the beatings for us, the people spitting at him, goes to the cross of Calvary, takes nails in his hands and nails in his feet. There ought to be some shouts of praise so that we could have a life of transformation there. He carries our sins and bears our griefs on that cross of Calvary, dies on that cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but he gets up on the third day with all power and all glory, and now he is ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us that we can live a life of transformation. Saints, I want you to be excited. I want you to be encouraged. I want to exhort you today that God wants you to go deeper in him. God wants more from you. God wants to use you more. God wants you to live a life of transformation. I just want you to submit to him and say, God, use me for your glory, a life of transformation. Saints, this is serious times. Yes, serious times. We can get so distracted. We can get so off track. But God said, it's time. It's time to get in the Word like you've never been before. It's time for you to pray like you've never prayed before. It's time for you to worship and give Him praise like you've never done before, simply because He is worthy of all the praise and He wants to transform us. As those top athletes, they have to put so much practice in. We don't see all the practice they go through to win a race, or to win a tennis match, or to win a wrestling match. We don't see all the practice and the pain that went through them getting their body in shape to take on all of that they're going through. But saints of God, we must realize we've got to do more for the Lord, and it's going to hurt sometimes. It's going to be stresses sometimes, because the world is going to be constantly trying to pull us away from the path of righteousness. Please understand, we are a part of a small remnant. That's what the scriptures talk about. And it said, we meet a passerby every now and then. I just want to know today, will you make the decision to live a life of transformation? Will you make the decision and say, God, I want more of you. I'm going to make some definite changes within my life to be conformed to your likeness. Remember where we started out, Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and that acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you want that in your life? Saints, the only way you're going to get there is to make the decision today. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not going to allow the enemy to continue to pull me off the path. But Lord, I submit to your will and your way. Man, if you're listening and looking down and you don't know him, that is your first step. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and said you will be saved. And that's where the life of transformation takes place. For the saints, for the believers out there, this is a call to holiness. Yes, this is a call to transformation. This is a call to really dig in and to examine ourselves and to look, God, how can I have more of you? And I'm telling you, all of us have some places in our lives that need more of Christ. Any amen? Well, today I encourage you to make a decision to give God more of your life. As we prepare our hearts to pray together, I want you not only to pray for yourself, but I want you to pray for the body of Christ, that we can really step up to do more for the Lord through this life via of transformation to be more like Him. Let us pray. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your immense grace and mercy, that grace that empowers us to live a transformed life. God, we have messed up so often. We've gone off track, as said before, but thank you for today. This is the day of salvation, Lord. This is the day you told us to work at our salvation with fear and trembling, Lord. Thank you for your call, Holy Spirit. Thank you for moving in us. Lord, I thank you that more souls are being saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth, that you're raising up an army of saints that love you with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Lord, you be lifted up. You be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I know that God, my God, God is good. Yes, he is. I say, God, my God, God is good. Said he woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. Then he put shoes on my feet so he could guide my every footstep. Jesus saved my soul. Then he brought me out of darkness. God is good. I say, God, my God, God is good. Yes, he is. I say, God, my God, God is good. Said he woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. Then he put food on my table. Then he put shoes on my feet so he could guide my every footstep. Jesus saved my soul. Then